Okay, we're up. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the web class. I'm Benji. He's Tommy. Hey, Tommy.
Hi.
What's up, dude? Good to see you. Can't wait to do this with you. This will be a ton of fun. Some housekeeping here at the beginning. We are Breakthrough Academy. He is Tommy Mello, AKA the home service expert, AKA A1 Garage Doors, AKA a whole bunch of other stuff. We are putting on this session called Scaling to 2 Million Staff Accountability Tips for Contractors. Today's conversation is about how to hold more accountability with your team. Accountability is one of these buzzwords that gets talked about a lot, but I think rarely is actually discussed in a concrete or practical or helpful way. We all know it's something we need to do, but nobody really gives us the step. Today is like the antithesis to that. We're going to go through a framework that we've built. We think it works really well. I think it's going to work for you too. That's what we have planned for the next hour. When we do these sessions, right, we love to give tons of free stuff away. When you went to a birthday party as a kid, like at laser tag or the pizza place or whatever, you left with a little goodie bag and there's like a comic book, there's some candies, there's what, maybe stick a gum in there. This is like your goodie bag for grown-ups. There's a bunch of business systems in it. We've got Tommy's book Elevate as an ebook. It's yours for free to take home. We've got some of these goal setting and review dashboards, which are really the fundamental pieces of this accountability framework that we're going to talk about, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So stay tuned till the end. We'll send you to a landing page where you can get all of this for free. It's our way of saying thanks for being here. And the last thing I'd say on that is it really is we want to equip you with the tools to implement. Like we I don't want to just talk about accountability and have this be another web class that you go to and do nothing with. We actually would like to give you a running start when it comes to implementing this into your business. And I think that all this stuff will do that and more. Tommy, thanks for doing this with us, man. For the unfamiliar, maybe just give all of us the 90-second blurb on you and what you're up to.
Yeah, so I really appreciate being here, first of all. I own a company called A1 Garage Door Service, and we're working on a lot of stuff. We're scaling dramatically. We're buying companies. We're greenfielding again into new markets. And that's my primary thing, although I do a lot online on the home service expert page. The podcast is top 15 in the country for business. So if you guys haven't heard of the podcast, Home Service Expert, lots of good stuff, lots of great podcasts. And my whole focus right now is literally around people. It's about keeping great technicians. We're a technician-first company. We believe in the technicians and the installers. And so that's really what I've been up to is recruiting, training, getting their numbers where they need to be. I'm going to talk about some of the technology later that we're using, but that creates accountability like scorecards. The AI tool Rilla Voice has been literally killing it for us. And I'm obsessed with business. You could catch me even when I'm not working, I'm working. I enjoy what I do. So that's about it, man. We're going to be hopefully around 260 million this year, but I'm more proud of the fact that we're 25% of the bottom line and working on getting that to 30%. So I think a lot of people brag about their revenue, but they're not bringing any of it home. So hopefully some of these things in this webinar you can take and use and build a company that's extra profitable because that's the most important thing.
The last time I talked to you, I think you had an EBITDA at 17%, and now it's up to 25 and going north. I'm
Yeah.
as my friends say, that is a wet net. That is very, very good. Well done. I'm Benji. I'm the director of content here at Breakthrough Academy. I am the host of the Contractor Evolution podcast. Really quickly about what we do at Breakthrough Academy and why this is sort of synergistic. We systemize contracting businesses for growth. We work with about 600 businesses all over North America. We help them implement a framework that we call the Contractor Growth Method. More on that later. And we basically streamline small but fast-growing businesses who want to become more profitable, who want to spend less time in the truck, who want to have lower stress levels. We genuinely believe there is a pathway to do that in blue-collar businesses like yours. And with our team of coaches, with our industry-leading content, with our super powerful community, we basically shrink the timeline that it takes most people to get to where they want to go business-wise. So Tommy and I have collaborated on a bunch of stuff before. He's been on the podcast. I've been on his. We've done a few of these web classes. And I think that we're able to pretty quickly disseminate some knowledge and some wisdom and some tools that make this a little easier. So the purpose for today's session is to share industry-tested accountability systems for higher retention, better productivity, and faster team development. The outcomes would be that you have a clear understanding of the four core accountability principles, and then you leave with the clarity and templates needed to hold your team accountable. Very simple agenda we're going to follow at the outset here. We're going to go through accountability red flags. In other words, what are the symptoms your business might be suffering from that leads you to the conclusion, hey, I might have some accountability problems, right? If you have a sore throat and a headache and a bit of a sniffle, you know you have a cold. If you have these four or five things, you definitely have an accountability problem and you're going to want to fix it. So that's the red flags. Then we'll go through these four principles. We'll talk about how to set goals effectively, how to define roles within your business effectively, establish deliverables. As I say all the time, you cannot hold someone accountable to a line that you never drew in the first place. So that's step one. We're going to talk about these meeting rhythms. Who are you meeting with? How often? For how long? And why? We'll talk about the prep involved to do a proper GSR meeting, a goal setting and review meeting. One of the fastest ways to have a very ineffective rollout of a new accountability system is to have an unstructured, meandering conversation with your team where they share their feelings, you spout off your opinions, but there's really nothing objective or empirical or measurable or prepared, right? So we'll talk about how to prep using a structured dashboard so we can have an apples to apples conversation with our team. And then we'll go through how to structure the meeting process and execute it. We'll talk about some performance management stuff at the end. And then we'll talk about implementing change. So Tommy, from your perspective, why is holding people accountable so hard?
Well, a lot of people don't have structure when they start in a business. I think a lot of us, we like to dump stuff on people rather than proper delegation. What I find most people do is they walk into this new job environment and they're like, you're going to work with this guy for the next 2 weeks and then you're done. That's the training you're getting. And I feel like by having manuals, you guys, Benji, you know that Al Levy was a guy I worked with for a long time to just set up the org chart, the depth chart, the manuals, the standard operating procedures, how you move up in the company, what happens if you need to call in sick, what happens if you wanted to take PTO, all that stuff is itemized. And we have regular check-ins, one-on-ones. We have a morning mojo call every day. We have a Thursday meeting every Thursday. And then we have a bring the fire once a month with the entire staff. And I think when someone leaves our company, they really miss the structure. They miss the organization. They miss the accountability. With scorecards, performance pay, you guys know I talk a lot about performance pay. What's in it for them? We don't believe in tenure here. We believe that you could come up and be just as good if you're willing to work hard at an A1 garage door service.
And what's the morning mojo meeting?
So every day we have a 15-minute call. We go over the numbers from the day before in every single market, 38 markets. We talk about the big wins and we pick on one or two technicians that either had a record day or they had 100% conversion rate or they sold a lot of doors or they might have been number one for service agreements that day. And we just talk about the big wins. Usually the night before I'll call the guy up and I'll say, you know, Mike, let's talk about the big wins. What are you going to say in this call in the morning? And they'll talk about how they overcame an objection or they used financing to close the deal, which we call promotions. And that's starting the day with positives, starting the day telling everybody what happened yesterday, where we're at. And never start the first job with a warranty call either. That's something we've been really focused on. But yeah, constant check-ins, constant accountability. Everyone's got an accountability partner that hold each other accountable. We call it a brotherhood out in the field because most of the technicians are male. And the more they work with each other and the more they're calling each other after every call, finding out what's working. And Rilla Voice records every single call that we're – Rilla Voice actually records the calls. Just like you can listen to your CSRs, now I can listen to my guys in the field, make sure they're following our process. We had a guy that was number 223 in the company go to number 7 in 30 days.
Wow.
Because how we follow the process. And there's a lot of AI. It's a fancy buzzword going around right now. But to create true accountability is a lot of people say, I'm following the process, trust me. Then you listen to the call, and they're not following it at all. So we built scorecards around some of this data, and people are just shooting up. Higher conversion rates, way less turnover, Benji. That's what I care the most. I want to give them a place where they can win. Mm-hmm. And so when we start out these calls, and I'll kind of sum this up for you, I find out what their dreams and goals are, right? Find out what do they want out of life? Do they want to bring their dad on a fishing trip? Do they want to put their kids into college? Do they want to buy a new house or a second house and a third house? And then we just reverse engineer what do they need to do at work. Mm-hmm. And if you, let me think here, Calc, calc.a1garagetools, I believe, .com. We've got a whole calculator that we calculate how much they can make per week, per month, per quarter. And then we drive those KPIs. I mean, obviously, conversion rate is the most important thing for me. But yeah, that's some of the stuff we'll talk about today.
Let's keep moving forward and talk about some accountability red flags. Thank you guys for those thoughtful answers in the chat. We will keep doing some of these questions to you and reading them off later. So there's 5 accountability red flags, Tommy. I'm going to read through all 5, and then maybe you take note on a few that you want to expand on here. But let me just get through these 5 really quick. I can rip them off quite quickly. So in other words, what did I say a second ago? If you have a runny nose, a cough, and a headache, you probably have a cold. If you have these 5 things, I guarantee you have an accountability problem. Number 1. There is no goal focus in your business. In other words, targets, standards, and benchmarks hold no weight in the mindset of your team. You feel like you are dragging the entire cart up the hill all the time. You feel like the only one who gives a damn about the results, and it's increasingly frustrating. That's 1. Number 2, lots of finger pointing, right? It's very common for businesses to start playing the blame game inside the building. It's his fault. It's her fault. It's the customer's fault. It's the vendor's fault. It's the dispatcher's fault. It's Tommy's fault. It's Benji's fault. Whatever. If you need an antidote for this, I'd highly recommend you go read Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink. But if you have a culture that exhibits a lot of finger pointing, that's another symptom. Number 3. Staff go rogue. There is a certain special kind of frustration that you feel as a business owner when you provide what feels like pretty clear instructions and your employee basically just calls an audible and then goes and does essentially a choose your own adventure mission and lets you know later. It's like, dude, I was super clear. And they're like, yeah, well, you know, I thought about it and I figured I'd go do this and go do that instead. If you have a really common situation of staff going rogue, that's another surefire sign you have an accountability problem. Number 4 is entitlement issues. In fact, I've got a great little blurb here that I wrote for a blog last year that I'm just going to read. Okay, Tommy, let me know what you think of this. Ambition is good. Entitlement is bad. And you need to understand the difference. Ambition is a beautiful thing. People who have a natural hunger for more, a growth mindset, and personal goals that drive them to earn more by doing more are incredibly easy to work with. You want and need people who ask for a raise because their body of work warrants it. But when someone waltzes into your organization and is demanding a 25% pay bump a month in, or who thinks they're going to get promoted to CEO by year's end, this is a big problem because business is a meritocracy, meaning people are chosen, rewarded, and slowly moved into positions of power based on their demonstrated skills, abilities, and merits. If someone thinks they can skip the demonstration part and get straight to the rewards part and you acquiesce, you will end up with the wrong leaders in your business and an insanely bloated overhead. If you're talking about one individual, maybe you made the wrong hire. If we're talking about an entire organization, the problem is you. There's a fifth one, but I'll pause there. Tommy, anything you want to layer on top?
Yeah, no, you just nailed it. I think when someone starts with me, C-suite, VP, or director level, they interview me at the end. Usually I'm not making those hires right off the bat. We'll narrow it down to three, and then I interview them, and then I let them interview me. They call me very entrepreneurial. I work sometimes at 10 p.m. on a Saturday, and I make phone calls. If they want a corporate structure, a 9-to-5, the work-life balance is probably not working with me. So I make sure they understand who I am as a leader. And some people don't like that environment, and that's okay. I make sure it's a cultural fit. The guys work a month in the field before they're sent to Phoenix to train. I like to make sure they're going to show up. They're going to be sober. They're going to ask great questions. They're not on social media the whole time. They're respectful. They want to win. Usually they played sports, or they might have played a musical instrument, but they were passionate about something that they got better at every single day. You know, a lot of people don't have personal goals. They say, listen, we just need to hit these numbers. But people want to have personal goals, understand how they could win the game. You said lots of finger pointing. You know, we've read this book every single year as a team, Five Dysfunctions of a Team, and understanding that a lot of people care more about their department than the company winning, and it gets siloed. So pulling people out of that silo. And scorecards are good. I mean, if you look at the back of a baseball card or a hockey card, it'll tell you all their stats, their RBIs, their total runs, their batting averages, all these different things. The best people like to keep score. They're competitive. They're super humble. And they're always hungry, and they like to know if they're winning. A lot of people, I just don't believe in hourly. I really don't believe in hourly. I don't think it motivates the right things. Obviously, straight commission could have people doing things that maybe aren't moral or ethical. So there's a happy medium. Like, our scorecard exists around a lot of different things. Like, one of the big ones is callbacks. How many warranty calls are you getting? The other big one is how many five-star reviews are you getting? Because they care about the customer experience a lot. So all these things really, really matter. I think I had a lot of these issues early on. And now that we have goals for every single person knows who's winning. You can see everybody's scorecard in the company, the installer, the CSR, the dispatcher, they each have a scorecard. And you know who's winning. So you can pretty much just call this person up and say, how are you selling so much service calls into door sales? And now we can even listen to those calls. We can say, hey, I want to actually hear you. It's a virtual ride along where they can actually listen to the whole thing and study it and get better at it. So I think we've got a lot of tools for accountability within the company.
Tommy, let me ask you, a lot of people think, you hear this word entitlement thrown around a lot, and I think a lot of business owners like to use it to describe, you know, this generation, whatever generation they're talking about. Do you think that entitlement is a, do you think that people are more entitled today, or do you think that this is a convenient excuse for bad leadership, or is it a bit of both?
No, I actually really enjoy millennials. I think they want more than the baby boomers used to just work their butts off and work really hard, and they worked the hours, but they didn't enjoy their life. I think millennials like want to feel like they're part of something. They want to know where the company's going. They want to see, is there an opportunity for me to move up? And they talk a lot about work-life balance, and I'm okay with that if you're getting the work done. And I don't care if you work 20 hours a week. I don't care if you work 60 hours a week. I want to hold you accountable to your goals that you told me, what you wanted out of your life, that you wanted to go on these vacations. You wanted to buy a second house. You wanted to take your kids to Disney World first class. So I don't have to do performance improvement plans. I say, listen, you are passionate. You really wanted this stuff from this career. And I'm going to hold you. Is it okay? Do I have your permission, Benji, to hold you accountable to make 100%. Sure everything you told me you want? And these conversations go super easy. Remember when you told me you wanted to bring your dad on that fishing trip and it was going to cost $14,000? Well, here's where we're at today. If we improve this and get better at this together, you're going to make that trip happen. If not, you wouldn't be very happy with me if I didn't hold you accountable.
One last thing here. If your business feels status quo, if it just feels lethargic, stale, plateaued, you've been at the same revenue number for a number of years, you've been at the same headcount for a number of years, even you have been stuck in the same mindset for a number of years, that is a fifth and final sign that your business is lacking accountability. Now, I want to address something that came up in the chat box a bunch there a few minutes ago. I really believe that before we get into the tactical how to, the tools, and this is the case for a lot of implementations in a business, you have to shift your mindset. You kind of need to get mentally, emotionally on the right side of this conversation. And what I mean by that is this. I think that there is a lot of noise and a lot of stories that we tell ourselves about accountability and being a strong, even firm leader in business. So here are some facts. And I really want your thoughts on this in a sec, Tommy. High performers look for strong and stable leadership where standards are upheld. No one at the top of their game is laissez-faire about results. Businesses grow top line and bottom line faster when accountability systems are in place. Those are some facts. Here is the fiction that we tell ourselves. I'm going to come off as a jerk. My people won't like me. My staff will abandon me and go work for someone else. Or this will negatively affect our fun-loving culture. Tommy, did you ever have to kind of like have a mindset shift like this in your career?
Yeah, what happened was is I had top performers that rolled their eyes. They sat in the back of every meeting. They were steering the ship, and I was so afraid to lose them. And I was literally like, I was a victim to my own company. They ran the company. Without them, I felt like I couldn't do payroll. But then I realized I hired Adam Cronenberg in 2014. He was my right hand. He was my integrator. And the first thing he did is says, we got to get rid of this guy. And I was super worried about it. But then I realized when we did that, everybody performed better. A players, they hate people that don't buy in. They hate people that don't follow the core values. They hate people that are not bought into the where we're going. And B players can't stand A players. And C players can't handle A players. So if you're going to have this foundation of letting people kind of do their own thing, go rogue, as you explained, and they're just always talking crap, there's no communication. I literally just did an orientation late last week, 3.5 hours, 32 brand new guys. And they were all talking the next day, and I walked in, spent another 45 minutes with them, and they said, why are you here? They said, we meet a lot of owners and founders that don't even show up. It's like a lifestyle business for them.
Wow.
They said, you're here all the time. You check in all the time. Like, you really want us to win. You are making us write down our goals, SMART goals. And I said, listen, I enjoy what I do. And as long as you dream big enough, and you got to dream bigger than you've ever thought possible, I'm going to help you win. I don't want you to make 80 grand. I want you to make 300 grand. And I'm going to give you exactly what needs to happen to do that. People are like, man, how could you pay that much? Well, if you're converting every job, getting a review from every job, I give the people $1,500 to recruit somebody. You recruit three people a month, that's an extra $4,500. There's a lot of ways. Self-generated leads, you make 10% of that lead. So if you can pick up an extra two jobs a week, you're making an extra 10% on those. And you're recruiting, you're getting five-star reviews, your conversion rate's through the roof. You can make a lot of money at any company. Mm-hmm. Because my mentality has always been, Benji, I'll close out with this. If you don't have an opportunity for people to make real money, and I've studied HVAC and plumbing and electrical, this is what I studied for years and years and years. If you don't get an opportunity for them to make real money, they're going to leave. And it's not only about the money. I think the stat is if you make over $140,000, there's other things that are more important than the money, but you got to be able to have a good car, live in a good house, put your kids in good schools. And I think there's some owners out there that go, man, if they made that kind of money, they'd be making more than me. Well, yeah, but you own the business. Salespeople could always make great money, but they got to keep earning it every day. And I think a lot of people have animosity to the technicians or installers that make great money. Although my guys go out and they get massive jobs. One of my guys just got an 80 complex condo community for all their garage doors. He's going to make a lot of money on that.
What is your advice for somebody listening? And I guarantee you there are dozens, maybe hundreds of people on this web class today with this going on in their mind. They hear you in theory. They see the words on the slide, but they're in a situation like you were in. They've got high performers that are kind of mavericks and aren't bought into the culture, the team. Or maybe they don't even have high performers, but they themselves are scared to kind of, you know, give people a kick in the ass, say, hey guys, no, this is what you are paid to do. This is what we agreed to. What would be your just like simple advice to someone in that situation now, Tommy?
Well, I'd say this: complete ownership, 100% ownership. You're the problem. The founder, the owner, the general manager, you're the leader. You're going to tolerate it. Everybody sees that. It makes you weak. If you don't look in the mirror and you don't smile, you got to work on yourself first. If you don't like who you are, then change it. A lot of people say, man, I want to get in shape, but they lie to themselves. They never, ever work out. They never get out of bed. They focus on all the things they don't have. They focus on what happened a month ago. They don't focus on the future. And I'd say complete ownership. It's all the success is because of you and all the negative things. And if you don't create your culture, it will create itself. And if you don't have a plan for it, if you don't tell everybody every day how fortunate you are, how much you care about them, and they don't really see you leading by your actions, and you might say, listen, I want you guys to all win. I've had a dozen companies told me they wanted their people to win as they sold to me. You know how much they gave to their employees after they sold? Zero.
Zero.
Do you know how much they checked in with me after they sold about their people? Zero. So I didn't believe them. It's very hard because their actions don't do that. They're always critical. They're always talking negative about people. I try to find the best in people.
I love it. I heard a great saying the other day in a podcast. I think it was Ed Milet, who's worth a follow and worth a listen, by the way. He's like, he had this great sound, but he's like, turn the mute button on people. Just stop listening to people and just watch what they do. Like, what they say is largely irrelevant and in many cases kind of a falsehood. Just push the mute button and watch what they do. Okay, we've been alluding to this sort of this scorecard piece for a while, Tommy. I wonder if you can talk about the scorecard. I mean, we can do a whole 3-hour thing on this, so it needs to be quick. So maybe just give us like a high level overview of what scorecards mean inside the A1 universe, the role they play, how you've implemented them, and anything else, any other light you can shed on this really, really critical piece to how you've gamified, created performance pay, and really drive a culture that wins at A1.
Yeah, everybody's got a scorecard. CSRs, if they book the call, they make more money. Technicians, we look at how much promotions did you sell, meaning how many times did you use financing. We take a deep dive at their conversion rate, their opportunity job average, 1 out of 5-star reviews, their callback ratio. Those are the main things. And then how many memberships they sell. Those are all on a scorecard. Any one of my technicians can pull up their cell phone and see those. The installers have their own scorecard. For dispatchers, their scorecard is mostly evolved around move up revenue and opportunity job average coming from the dispatcher. Because the dispatcher plays a very, very key role of what guys are going. Most people probably on this call are not dispatching for dollars. You're not sending Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. And that's a huge mistake. So we've got in Service Titan, that's the CRM we use, we can put certain things as guidelines and talents. So if a guy's working on we ask the customer, how old is your garage? If it's over 10 years old, I want to send somebody out there that knows how to offer a new door with a high conversion rate, because that's what I would do for my own mom. So dispatchers also have move-up revenue, where if they could take tomorrow's call, so Thursday, Friday, Saturday's calls, and move them into today, they make more on those calls. It's move-up revenue. I want to completely build out as much capacity of today as possible. And one of the greatest things we're doing right now is we're going to start working till 10 p.m. 4 nights a week, because there's no competition. I could have all the emergency calls. I could schedule late calls. Both decision makers are home. There's a company in Charlotte called Morris Jenkins, and they run till midnight 7 days a week. And I'm trying to do stuff that my competitors don't want to do. They can barely get guys to show up on Monday at 8 a.m. How the heck are you going to get somebody to work till midnight 7 days a week, even on Saturdays and Sundays? Well, they figured it out. So what do I do, Benji? I call them up and I fly out there and I see everything, because they're glad to teach me. And I'm trying to be the dumbest guy in the room as much as possible. But scorecards are like, you know where you sit, and you also know everybody else's scorecard. And if I could tell you my top guy, what if I showed you his scorecard and had you work with him for a week and I pay good for training? What if we can make you an extra 80 grand this year? All we need to do is take this KPI and move it up to here. And they know that. It's very transparent. I mean, most of the company has access to the financials. They know if we've made our budget today, this week, this month, this quarter. I've got a meeting later with all my dispatchers, and they want to know what we got to hit this month. And my manager's like, do you mind if we, are we allowed to tell them that? I'm like, heck yeah, we're allowed to tell them that because they're driving that revenue. So scorecard just tells you where you're at and it allows you to see where everybody else is at. And then taking the scorecard and saying, how much money would you make? What's in it for you? Why would you want to get better at this?
Yeah.
And then using those to train.
It's been my experience that people play a lot better when you're keeping score. That's why there's practice and game day. And if you can make a game day culture through gamification, scorecards like this, a lot of the motivating, incentivizing, a lot of the stuff that exhausts you as a business owner, it kind of looks after itself to a large degree. Now, I want to talk about, we're going to shift gears here. So we talked about some of, just a quick recap. We've talked about some of the symptoms. You have an accountability issue. We've talked about the mindset piece and shifting that. We've talked about Tommy's scorecards. Now, I want to talk about a very fundamental BTA system called goal setting and review. And this is what we call it. Really what we're talking about is an effective one-on-one with the key people in your business. So I want to teach you a bit of a framework. Tommy's going to chime in with color commentary here from slide to slide, but this is an incredibly important system in the Breakthrough Academy universe. We implemented it into all the businesses that we coach. And as one of my best friends and one of our favorite Breakthrough Academy coaches, Ian O'Workirk, says, if there's one thing that can impact your business the most quickly and positively, it is a good GSR routine. So like I said, there's four fundamental parts to this. We start with clear goals and deliverables. If you feel hesitant to hold someone accountable, ask yourself the question, did I set the standard with them in the first place? Or did we do a bit of a handshake agreement and I assumed that they had our best interests in mind and they assumed something else and we kind of got to work and got started and now weeks later or months later, they're confused, I'm disappointed, and this really isn't tracking the way that it needs to. So the reason that happens most of the time is we as leaders do a very poor job clarifying how someone wins in their role. Right. So Tommy was talking about scorecards a second ago. This is almost like the prequel to scorecards. It's like, hey, before we actually give you results and show KPIs, let's define what good looks like in the first place. So there's a concept that it's not just us. There'll be a lot of business books that talk about this, but it's something that we're very big on in Breakthrough Academy is establishing deliverables. These are the clear, measurable, and tangible results that an employee must deliver for the company in order for them to create a return on investment. And I would really encourage you to think of your employees like investments. You want to invest in them, but literally your mindset should be like, hey, let's use a goofy example. If I'm going to buy, I'm going to go buy a bunch of Berkshire Hathaway, okay? Or some other, pick your favorite stock. You make that purchase assuming that there's a return on investment over time. When you hire an employee, and I don't know if you think about this explicitly enough, you carve out salary, you pay them their wages, there's burdens on top of that, there's bonuses on top of that. All of that spend needs to create a return for your business. And so what you want to do with deliverables is think about what would our business need to get in terms of results from this employee in order to create a win for me, win for us, the business, and a win for them. And to go back to what Tommy was talking about earlier, the more that you can connect their personal, financial, career goals with the deliverables in their role and therefore the goals of the company, the more synergistic and the more win-win the whole agreement becomes. Now, one of the very quick ways to do this is to install really good quality employment agreements. I'm just going to show you something that we have in the downloads that we call these contractor quick tools. These are like very fast to implement quick tools. They come with a how-to guide with hints and pro tips. I think there's even an explainer video. And then you have a very easy to complete fill in the blanks version of it, right? So this is Breakthrough Academy content. I promise this is better than what you're going to get from ChatGPT because this is crowdsourced from our 600 members. This is the optimal way to design an employment agreement with company values at the top, deliverables and accountabilities below that. Then we go through some HR stuff, some payroll stuff, compensation structure, et cetera. There's a lot of power in putting it in writing and having someone sign off on it at the start of their journey with you. That's the line in the sand that needs to be drawn. And a lot of the times we don't do that. And then we wonder why weeks later, months later, they're underperforming and we're kind of pissed off under our breath about it. Tommy, do you want to just add some color commentary to that? What role do clear goals and deliverables or employment agreements play at A1?
Yeah, so I remember the first time, and I got to go back because I was doing almost $15-16 million, and I had Al Levy on the podcast, and he walks into my office, and he says, "Where's your manuals?" And I gave him this big dusty manual. He's like, "When the last time this has been gone through?" I'm like, "It really hasn't. It's just like a normal." He's like, "This isn't really a manual. It doesn't describe how you win in the company, what the expectations are. And it should be read out loud, and it should be signed off on each page. And they got to use their John Hancock." And so we built all these manuals. We have like 54 manuals now on how to win, how to do. First time Al rode with my team, he went out with five different technicians. He said every one of the guys does springs and rollers differently. He goes, Right. Some of the guys say this, some of the other guys don't say this. Your trucks all look different. And so he said, "Tommy, when we fix these things and you got standard operating procedures, you've got checklists, you've got ways to keep track and the right methodology behind it and the 8-step process to sell anything." He said, "Once we build this," he goes, "it's going to be vanilla. It's going to be kind of boring. You're not going to have near as many fires as you have today." And he was right. You know, I spent several hundreds of thousands of dollars with Al and he changed my life. So I think manuals, standard operating procedures, org charts, depth charts, he calls it the triangle of communication. Usually CSRs hate dispatchers, dispatchers hate technicians, and you got to build some love there on how they communicate and how they help each other win. Mm-hmm. And so that's a big thing, man. Getting the documentation right, having them sign what the expectations are, what we're going to deliver to them, what our goals are, what's our mission, vision, core values. Mm-hmm. That's every single person needs to know those things. And I don't think a lot of companies, they think about it. They say, "Hey, that's somewhere in a file," but it never really, they're not living up to those expectations.
So this is low tech stuff that we do. And it's that way on purpose. This is, you know, not super advanced technology. We're talking about Word documents and PDFs, but we do it that way because it's really accessible and really scalable. So if you have nothing in your business right now, I would take what I showed you a second ago. Here it is again. Take the employment agreement tool and the how-to guide and just get this in place in your business in the next month. You'll be glad you did. Okay, let's move on to meeting rhythms. This is kind of a quick point, but I want to clarify, who are you doing these one-on-ones with? The answer is not everyone in your business. Unless you have a very small, you know, 1-5 person shop, if you have a business of 10 or more people, it's not reasonable for you to meet with every single person in your business all the time. So fundamentally, what a goal setting review meeting is, it's a management tool that helps you keep a pulse on what's happening in your business, hold accountability with your key staff, provide direction and support, and manage performance. And guess what? They happen on a fixed recurring schedule, period, even when you're slammed. This is one thing that you do not cancel. In an absolute pinch, you could reschedule, but for heaven's sake, you don't just miss it. With who and how often? You're doing GSR meetings with your direct reports. They, in turn, are doing it with their direct reports. So in a business like Tommy's, right, there would be many layers to a business that size. Is Tommy meeting with all, I don't know, however many hundred or thousands of technicians? God, no. But he's meeting with his leadership team. They're in turn meeting with the people that they lead. And your business is no different. So if you've got an office manager, a project manager, and a sales leader, you'd be meeting with those three. They're turning around and doing GSRs with the people that they lead the same day or the next day or whatever. A healthy rhythm is weekly or biweekly. right? That's how often we need to be doing this. There is prep submitted for the one-on-one by our team members on a Friday so that we can review it going into it. I generally like to do these on a Monday or a Tuesday early in the week. 30 minutes with simple roles, 60 minutes with more complex roles. It's a standing, consistent time that just gives some stability, some predictability to the person on your team. They know Mondays at 3 p.m. is my GSR meeting with Benji. I'm going to have my prep ready a day early, and we're going to get my week set up properly. I like doing these early in the day or early in the week. So most of my GSRs are done by a Monday afternoon. I do one of them on a Tuesday. It just kind of helps you set up your person's following week a little bit more cleanly. You get it out of the way at the start of the week. You can do these in person if you have a shop or office. You can do them virtually. There's pros and cons to each, right? I think on the in-person front, it's easier to get a pulse on body language and gauge energy levels if you're sitting next to someone. So you'd bring them into the shop, or sometimes maybe you go to their site or wherever they are. I think that quality in-person time matters a great deal. The cons to this is that with travel time, you do lose some, you get some windshield time, so you lose some production time. The meetings tend to run longer in person. I don't know what it is. It's just when you meet people in person, maybe it's you chit chat more, or you get more comfortable or go on more tangents, but they tend to run longer in my experience. Virtual. So you're doing this over Zoom, right? There's a convenience factor, which I really like. There's a really great, you know, screen sharing feature in most tools like Zoom or Google Meets or Microsoft Teams or whatever. You can almost, they all have a screen share feature. So you can really zoom in on the dashboard and look at it closely together, provide some flexibility for your direct report. The one word of caution I'd have on this, guys, is if you're going to do virtual, you don't want to let the standard slip. Right. If the theme of this is about accountability, it is not a good situation to have, you know, one day it's on Zoom and it's on time and it's structured, and then the next day it's on the phone, and then the next day it's you're just sending voice memos back and forth. That doesn't work. You want to hold some tension to the formality of this meeting. I think that matters a lot. So pros and cons of in-person versus virtual. Let's talk about how you prep for one of these. Probably the most important part of the conversation. So we talked about Tommy's scorecards earlier. You know, that what he's built is very much custom and purpose-built for A1 garage doors. I want to show you something quite similar that's a little bit more universal in the sense that you can adapt what I'm going to teach you here to work for your business. So I want you to look at what I show you on screen here really carefully. We use a GSR dashboard. So let me show you what one of these looks like. This is what a dashboard would look like for a salesperson. In this example, for a roofing company, you have at the top here their annual deliverables, the company core values, and their quarterly benchmarks. Really nice in-your-face reminder of, hey, this is what good looks like in your role. There's a little space for a check-in. How are they doing? Are they up? Are they down? Are they stressed? Are they cool? There's a cell for how they can be best supported by you. You can see there's quite a bit of numbers here. So there's a KPI review from the last meeting. You can see their goals versus their actual results. So for this salesperson in this example, sounds like he had a good week. He had a goal of selling 20K. He actually sold 35. His closing ratio is above normal. His average job size is above normal. That's really good. Okay. It's not always going to look like that. Some weeks are going to be bad. Then you have a little bit of a review section for the previous week. What were the goals? What happened? Did we hit? Did we miss? Were there drivers or were there restrainers? In other words, what led to the success that you experienced? What restrained you from getting the success you wanted? In the cell next to it, to the right, there's some room for actual goal setting for the next week or 2 week window, whatever cadence you're on. And this dashboard gets filled out, like I said, the Friday beforehand by the person on your team that you're leading, so that you can review it before the meeting and have a very objective apples to apples conversation based on data, based on numerical results, not on thoughts and feelings, which is what often happens without something like this. There's a little section for administrative items. So that's just basic stuff. When you're running a business, there's always things that come up. hey, you know, Steve, we need your shirt size. We're ordering new company gear and jackets. Can you get that over to us? You know, the vehicle needs to go in for repairs on Friday. Can you drop it off at this mechanic instead of at home? There's always little bits and pieces that you need to communicate. And a GSR meeting is a great window to do that. So if you want to install some rigidity to the one-on-ones that you either aren't having at all or are having, but you kind of feel like they're not as good as they could be, a dashboard like this is going to help a lot. This would be another one that would be more for a project manager. I won't go through the whole example again. We've got a bunch of these in the download pack that you can grab and make your own. And I highly encourage you to add your logo, change the colors if you want, play around with this a little bit, make it fit for your specific business, for the specific roles within your business. It's quite flexible, but the fundamental ideas are the same. There's prep that gets done, and you want to pay attention to the difference between good prep and bad prep. You can really see in someone's dashboard if they're trying, if they're thinking, if they're working hard at this, or if they're really mailing it in. So you're looking for tactical plans to hit goals. You're looking for transparency and honesty. You're looking for a first cut of their weekly schedule to come. Bad prep is more, you know, it's vague, it's unmeasurable, it's going through the motions, it's one word answers and a lack of rigor. You'll just be able to tell very, very quickly. Tommy, what, maybe just unpack, maybe you can layer on top quickly the role of a dashboard, the role of something visible, the role of data, concrete numbers, and prep. I'm sure you've noticed the difference between vague, unstructured meetings and really well-prepared ones.
Yeah, this is going to sound like a broken record. And by the way, I'm not a salesman for Rilla. We're just trying to implement it for all my technicians right now and installers. But the goal of it is that every one-on-one meeting, every interview, every Thursday meeting, and every morning mojo call in each market is recorded on Rilla. Because what I noticed was every single guy was interviewing differently. And so when we started tracking who's recruited the best technicians to stay the longest and perform the best, it came down to two managers. So they worked together to form the whole way we're going to do interviews. And now they interview everybody. It falls upon them for the final interview. But this data will set you free. What gets measured gets managed. And The people, they think it's a lot at first. They're like, I don't, another darn one-on-one. But if you make it about them and they're presenting, and they're talking about what went well this week. What do they need to focus on? How would they rate themselves? The numbers kind of speak for themselves. One other thing, Benji, that I think is super important is we use statistics to make these analysis. We don't pick a number and say, you should be selling 35,000 a week. We say, here's the top 20% of your cohort or of the people that you work with. Here's what good behavior, and it's always a moving target based on what we're doing in that, who's the top 20%? Some people take the mean, some people take the median. We started looking at, going back to math in like third grade, the mode of what was the most common price? Well, it turns out there was a certain guy's getting 7 service calls out of 20 jobs, meaning that that's all they were collecting. And until we actually looked at all this data and really, really started driving, that's what caused us to go from 17% to 19% to 22%, now 25. And that's why I think we're going to get to 30. It's just don't choose a number out of thin air that you think your people should be at. What should your booking rate be? If you're like, it should be 92% at least. Well, who do you have booking at 92%? And what can we learn from that person? And what are they doing? And is it really, I think a lot of people don't have data integrity. And when you're having a one-on-one, you're not using the right data. And they're like, this isn't right. And no one's going to trust you.
You can lose the locker room pretty quickly. Yeah, that's a really powerful point. You can lose the locker room very quickly if you're, like you say, making it up out of thin air. And I think, okay, so a lot of people go, okay, well, you know, Tommy, I don't have a business as big or as mature or as well-tracked as yours. What do I do? Tommy's probably the biggest proponent in the world of this. Like, go talk to someone else. Go talk to another business. Do a shop visit. Have the courage to buy a competitor lunch. Maybe they won't give you anything, but maybe they will. And I think in most instances, you'd be surprised at how willing and able many other businesses, either in your direct industry or adjacent, would be able to help you with a lot of this stuff so that you're not just kind of making stuff up out of thin air. How do we run a GSR meeting? It's not that hard, okay? Like Tommy just said, you're setting this up so that the person that you lead is coming to you with most of the critical thinking, most of the data, most of the planning, and you're doing a little bit of coaching. So typically, we're doing a 5-minute opening check-in. I think it's incredibly important to check in with your people as people. How are you? How was your kids' baseball tournament this weekend? Hey, you know, you said last week you were going to try a new lasagna recipe. How was that? You know what I mean? Like, you run a human-driven business and always will. Make sure you're checking in for a few minutes with them. Then you do a performance review. You're asking them, hey, take me through the last week, okay? What went well? What did not? What did you learn? You want to hold accountability to those previously set goals. You want to identify the results that actually happened, figure out the drivers and restrainers, and capture the relevant learning. You are not reviewing performance to nail someone to the cross, to embarrass someone, to yell and scream and be a tyrant if they miss their goals. You're looking for learnable moments. Was there something that held you back that we can fix this week that's going to get you to the result that you want? So that performance review is arguably the most important section of the meeting. Then we move to a future goals and plans section. And what's happened is the person that you lead has prepared a first cut of their schedule for the following week. They've put together a block schedule, something that looks a little bit like this. Okay. They've shown you, hey, this is what based on the goals that we have, this is what I'm going to go and do. Does that look good? Anything you would change? And then you sit back as the leader, being the subject matter expert, knowing what you know with your years of experience, and you're coaching them on things you might change. Hey, it looks like you're spending a little bit too long on admin items, but really what we need you to do is some prospecting this week. I need at least 2 hours on Thursday where you're picking up the phone and making outbound phone calls or what have you, right? Then we get into the admin items. Those are those small bits and pieces. You cover those at the end. It's really only for a couple minutes. Not super important, but often in meetings, you're going to have a few things to go over. What do we do when people are not hitting their goals consistently? Week in, week out, you just have someone that's kind of either a low performer or lacking confidence or untrained or whatever. You want to have a critical conversation with them, right? And there's a really great 5-step framework. We did a podcast episode on this a few months ago that you can go and download and listen to. There's also this really great downloadable version that just walks you through how to have those conversations, those tough talks that you'd rather avoid. Super important as a leader. This is what you signed up for as an entrepreneur. Don't worry that you're nervous. Do your best. You'll be happy you did. This is a really important point. What you're going to notice when you have a good GSR system in place, when you have good scorecards, when you have a culture of accountability, you're going to notice results will improve. You're going to notice your phone calls and questions decrease. People burst into your door less often. Your phone rings less because you've dealt with what you need to deal with in your GSR meeting. You're going to see buy into the vision go up, buy into core values go up. You're going to get positive feedback from your team. They're going to say things like, Tommy, you know, I feel a lot more supported here than I did at my last job. And lastly, your staff are going to earn more, right? They're performing better. They're crushing their goals. They're hitting their bonuses. They're now making money. more money than they were before. So this is a really important vision I want to cast here. Like, we're not doing this to be strict and because we learned about it in a podcast, or a web class or whatever. This is what's at stake here. If you want those things, these five things, better results, less phone calls, buy into vision, positive feedback from your team, and you want them to make more, this is your path to it. This is a really powerful visual. I really love this graph. Here is what your vision and your staff look like with GSR versus without. So with a culture of accountability, your vision, although it's not a perfect line, your vision and your staff track together. What you, that mental picture that you have in your mind's eye and what your team are actually doing, they move in sequence. Without GSR, it looks kind of like this. Okay. We, over the last 9 years, have studied what we call the contractor growth phases. This is, and actually, Tommy's kind of the perfect case study. He has gone, I don't know if you guys follow him on LinkedIn or follow any socials. Every once in a while, he posts this hilarious photo of, like, I don't know, 21 or 22 year old Tommy with a truck with like a magnet on the side or the deck, a decal on the side. It's pretty cute. And he has gone from operator to manager to leader, truly to strategist at this level. And here's what we've noticed, right? As an operator, you have no idea where your profit centers are. You do napkin estimates. You put some prices out. You get some jobs. Your lack of job costing doesn't give you much visibility. And to get to the next level, you have to get some job costing and some good tracking in place. Then you become a manager. You have a small team. It's still a little business, but you've grown a bit. You're lacking systems. You need a recruitment system. You need a sales system. You need a marketing system. You get that stuff in place. You move to this leader stage where your business is bigger. It's usually around $5, maybe $10 million a year. At the leader stage, what you're trying to build is a leadership team so that you can truly just work on the fun stuff, which is strategy, culture, team building, stuff like that. So we've studied these phases really, really closely. And we've built a bit of a framework that helps you move through them much faster. We call this the contractor growth method. This is the only operating system purpose-built for blue-collar businesses. Goal setting and review meetings are one integral part of them, right? So six parts, financial controls. You can see what's going on in your business and make data-driven decisions. Defined roles, which we kind of talked about today. Employment agreements, deliverables, a clear org chart. Everyone knows what good looks like. You have hiring systems, which allow you to attract A talent. You have training and onboarding systems, which allow you to skill people up, get them onboarded and absorbed into your culture and your processes as fast as possible. You have an optimized sales and marketing process. You can get leads efficiently and revenue predictably. And you have a goal setting and execution system. That's what we talked about today, goal setting and review, right? So this is the contractor growth method. These are the results it strives. The average new Breakthrough Academy member sees an average revenue increase of 25% after 12 months of the program, and they see a 69% boost to their net profit. So we're really on a mission here, and I think I've talked about this at length with Tommy. He's on board, and I think he is another huge person in this space who's kind of mission aligned with us. We want to transform honest, hardworking contractors into well-balanced leaders and thriving entrepreneurs. That's what we do at Breakthrough Academy. If you own a contracting business, you do between $1 and $15 million a year. You have been in business 2 years or more. You want to systemize your company. You want to develop as a leader. You want to mastermind with other high performers. You want to be challenged and held accountable, and you want to professionalize your industry. Breakthrough Academy, I'm telling you, is the spot for you, right? So here are the instructions at the end of this session. If you want to go get your templates, so that's an employment agreement guide and tool, a GSR dashboard, a GSR prep example, the critical conversations framework, Tommy's book, as well as a few other things, you're going to click on the button that just came up on your screen. It says download now. it's going to take you to a separate landing page where you give us first name, last name, email, basic information. And you have a choice at the bottom. You can say, send me the templates and let's talk about how you can help my business. If that's you, if you sound like this person on the, on this, right? If this profile kind of resonates with you, you want to select that box. You want to select the one that says, let's talk about how you can help my business. That will allow you to schedule a call with us. We want to hear from you. What's going on in your business? What are you struggling with? Tell us about the accountability issues. Tell us about your goals and dreams in the future. And let's see if Breakthrough Academy is a good spot for you. If it is, we can continue that conversation. And if not, we'll probably just send you some more free stuff. If you don't want to do that, you just select, I just want the templates right now. Thanks. What else do I have here to plug? Podcast every Wednesday on every platform. I don't have a slide for Tommy's, but Home Service Export. What date is it released on, Tommy?
I don't even know anymore. It's each week. I've never missed a week since 2017.
It's every week.
Home Service Expert, baby. 217,000 downloads last month.
You want to hit some questions, dude? I got a bunch.
Yeah, I wanted to just say a few things, Benji, and I'm not going to confuse everything you just taught because I agree with it, but I wanted to just real quick, at A1, I wanted to give you guys some stuff to start thinking about. We're hiring our third FP&A, financial planning and analyst. Game changer for our company. We've adopted something called Power BI to kind of pull all the data in from our payroll system, Intech, which is our financial system, and ServiceTitan, which is a great CRM. There's other great CRMs, but I think I always go with the biggest, best one. Some of the stuff I wanted to mention, Power BI, we use Chirp for automations. There's a couple other tools. We like Chirp. We use obviously Rillo Voice, and there's other ones out there that people are mentioning, and I've not used the other ones. And they're probably just as good. And then one other thing that I was just obviously L. Levy, read his book. If you haven't read his book, The 7-Power Contractor, it'll basically tell you everything that I went through with him. And then last thing is, I was on the phone with a guy this week, and he's like, dude, I'm not getting the leads. I'm at 22% marketing costs. And if you talk to Robert, my VP of marketing, my buddy Kellen got obsessed with Google. And I told this guy, you should call my buddy Kellen, because your Google My Business GVP, your Google My Business pages aren't showing up at all. Two out of the three are not even ranking. And so he works with this software stuff. It's just something I think you guys should look at. Power BI. You should look at Chirp. You should look at Rillo Voice or any other tool that does the same things. I don't care who you guys use. I just think these tools are important. An FP&A person. And then his software is called PIN, P-I-N, Parrot. P-A-R-R-O-T. And this dude's sharp. We did 6 GMBs as a test for the last 2 months. And it doubled our phone calls per GMB. We were already dialed. We've already ranked a lot. But just, I'm telling you guys, it's a game changer.
Guys, we are all out of time. We're a couple minutes over. If you want to connect with Breakthrough Academy, we systemize contracting businesses for growth. We're pretty freaking good at it, I think. You click that, you fill out the page, you book a call with us. If you want Tommy's book, it's in there. I really want to thank all of you for being here. There was, I think, 500 at the top of the hour, which is awesome. And I really want to thank Tommy, who is very generous with his time. I love doing this stuff with you, dude. Thank you for coming and sharing your wisdom and insight.
Benji was like, when I first met him, I'm like, man, this guy's pretty serious. And then you're the real deal. You know your stuff. I'd work for you. I mean, in another life, I think you really, really know what you're doing. You definitely care for people, and you know these things like the back of your hand. And I love your podcast. I love what you put out there. I love what you guys do at Breakthrough Academy. So keep up the great work.
I appreciate you. Dude, thanks for being here. Appreciate you. Thank you all for coming. Get the book. Go to a shop tour. Check out Breakthrough Academy. Check out both of our podcasts. Peace.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot for listening to this episode of Contractor Evolution. If you've already subscribed to our channel, consider sharing this episode with another contractor who you think needs to hear it.